Susie Wiles is here. Thank you, Susie, for taking questions again. Welcome.
Hello.
We've got a few, so let's crack through. Kia ora, I'm 60, Māori, double vaccinated, I live in central Wellington. Will most of us catch COVID? Do you know any statistics for Indigenous peoples affected by COVID in Australia or Hawaii or Canada? The will most of us catch COVID is probably a common question, Susie.
Yeah, okay, so will most of us catch COVID? I mean, I guess ultimately, probably yes, if we allow it to essentially become endemic rather than trying to, sort of stamp out outbreaks. So I guess what we really want is for people to be getting it when they're vaccinated, because then we know that their chances of having a serious infection are much, much lower. But we're not there yet, obviously. We're still in the low cases, but spreading. As for Indigenous peoples, really, really great question. Essentially, what we know is that pretty much in every country, Indigenous peoples are impacted more by COVID. And it's not really to do with the fact that they're Indigenous. It's the fact that most Indigenous cultures are basically suffering from the impacts of colonization in decades of unfair treatment. And so they tend to be working in worse jobs where they're generally more likely to be exposed. They're living with, often in overcrowded houses where there's higher risk of transmission, and have underlying health conditions which put them at higher risk of being, hospitalized. And that's exactly what we're seeing in our current outbreak.
On the question, will most of us catch COVID, we're going to remind people again of the statistical evidence that even in the current outbreak, if it's a yes, the risk of hospitalisation, let alone ICU admission, is massively reduced by double vaccination, correct?
Absolutely. The data is really, really clear. So of those who are not vaccinated, about 11%, I think, are ending up in hospital. Whereas if you're double vaccinated, it's more like 4%. And we know that that is different over age. So we know that older people are still more likely to be hospitalized if they're vaccinated. And that's also partly because we know that the when you're vaccinated, so healthy people have got about, are kind of 96 to 100% protected. That's still not, there still leaves room for a small number of people not to mount a good immune response. But we know from loads and loads of studies that there are people who can be safely vaccinated but won't have mounted a good immune response. So people with cancer, people who are immunocompromised, or transplant patients and things like that. And so they will also form part of that, those people who've been vaccinated but are still susceptible to a serious infection.
Which is why there's a responsibility for many of us who can to try and limit the spread. Okay, this one. Indeed. I live on the west coast of the South Island. Both my husband and I are fully vaccinated. My 14-year-old had his first vaccine in mid-September. I'd like to leave a 12-week gap for his second. He's at 5 weeks now. Because of research, I've read that this might result in a better immune response and potentially lower the risk of side effects. I'm now concerned I'm running out of time before COVID hits the west coast, especially with a significant number of people around me who won't get vaccinated. So I don't know what to do regarding my son's second vaccine timeline.
Get him vaccinated now. I haven't actually seen, so the data on leaving it for 12 weeks is marginal. So actually when you look at the, there's big differences in people's antibody responses from person to person. And when you look at the data shows that there's a statistically significant difference between people who had the shorter vaccination gap versus the longer one. But actually when you look, it's passed a statistical test, but it doesn't actually mean that it's important in real life. And so what we know is that, having two vaccine doses, being fully protected, is more important. At the moment with an outbreak, that is the thing to do. So definitely get vaccinated, because, you're not protected until 2 weeks after your second dose and time is running out.
What is the latest on vaccine effectiveness waning over time? Should we be worried about this?
So again, another really tricky thing to answer, because the data we're getting, we're getting data on cases and who they're happening in around the world. And so there is concerns, for example, in the UK that maybe because they started vaccinating quite a long time ago, that we're seeing waning there because they're now seeing another wave of cases. But actually, that might be partly also to do with the type of vaccine they've used. They used the AstraZeneca mostly. But also they're not doing stuff to stop transmission. So they're using vaccinations but not masking and all those sorts of things. So it's looking like for older people, they may need a booster, a third dose. And again, those people who are immunocompromised or have cancer and stuff. But at the moment, for mostly, as you're kind of going down the age brackets, it's looking like, 8 months after vaccination, you're still protected.
This was another one relating to that, actually. The eligibility of the third COVID shot, as announced by Dr. Bloomfield yesterday. The correspondent says, "I know this is different to the idea of the booster shot, but what is the eligibility for some people who are now going to be given a third shot?"
Yeah, so these are going to be people who it is about kind of sort of this either you haven't been protected well enough by two shots, or whether you're somebody who is in this kind of potentially waning. So that I wasn't able to catch up with Dr. Bloomfield's thing yesterday, but from everything I've seen in the USA, the recommendation is that certain groups who are immunocompromised, have cancer, those kinds of things are going to be the ones who are given a third shot.
Right. Susie, are you able to speak to the genetic modification aspect of the mRNA vaccine? I've observed that this is often a reason for hesitancy, and while I'm double vaccinated, I too would like to better understand.
Yeah, so I'm not quite sure what this person means actually, because some people think that it can genetically modify you, which is not true. So I'm not, so that's definitely not a thing that happens.
Is it more about
It's
how the
it, it
mRNA
so the
vaccine
vaccine.
is different from
Yeah,
from other?
so what it yeah, so what mRNA is basically it's kind of a genetic message. And it's a and it's so this is a process that happens in our cells every day. We make mRNA all the time, and so what we're doing is giving the mRNA from the virus instead. But it's synthetic mRNA, so it has been made out of all the building blocks. But this is exactly the same way that we make lots of medicines. We make them synthetically rather than, like, if we think of antibiotics, for example, many of them are made by fungi and bacteria. We don't get the fungi and bacteria to make them anymore. We know what the chemical compound is and we make that synthetically. So this is kind of the same, where we can make the mRNA synthetically, and that's how we can make it really fast and how we can deliver it to so many people. So yeah, that's not but that's not genetic modification either, I guess.
So,
So
okay. Thank you for
there is
clearing
no
that up.
genetic modification
No.
in this vaccine, I guess is the thing to say.
Okay. Why is New Zealand insisting on two doses for 12-year-olds when many countries are only doing one? My 12-year-old's had a first dose, but this inconsistency around the world is making me hesitant about the second.
Yeah, and so this is the really unfortunate thing, where different countries are doing different things, have been doing throughout the entire pandemic. The UK has been really hesitant about vaccinating young people, and kind of against all the evidence. So their experts are kind of really split in two, where they've got the ones who are advising the government saying, we don't think on balance you should, whereas there are other experts going, you absolutely have to. And we've seen massive increase in cases in schools because they haven't, because they didn't roll out a vaccine. Whereas in the USA, the data is really clear that if children are double vaccinated, they're much more protected, and that stops them getting infected, but also stops them taking the vaccine, taking the virus home to their families and infecting people there. So, I'm all for double vaccinated. My daughter is double vaccinated now. That's the data from what I'm looking at definitely supports that.
We'll leave it there. There's a few more, and thank you for sending them in, listeners, but we'll leave them there. You can always try next time Susie is back on. One interesting one to pick up is this question of the 90%, and will it have to be 90% absolutely everywhere before we go back to level one? It's certainly pivotal populations, isn't it, that the government's signalling it wants to get very high vaccination rates in before we start moving down levels. We might talk about that a bit more next time. Susie, thank you.